Wow. You know, so the next stage of how in the world this vision of this church called Hillview Heights comes together is this. Every one of your gifts are also essentially important to be released inside of the church. You know? We got to wake up to some very honest issues. Why in the world go to church anyway? Huh? Man, I used to ask that question when I was 16 every Sunday morning. I look at my mom and dad and I say, I don't want to go to church. I can't believe you're making me go to church. I don't know why I got to go to church. I said, ain't none of them people believe anything in there anyway. I said, now you tell me the truth. I said, half of them sleep. How many of y'all ever went through one of those Ren digs? I lay a case out. You know, this and this and this and this and this, and I don't want to go to church. But you know what? I've discovered this. The body of Christ is essential for the world to understand who Jesus is. What do you think? See, I finally woke up with this. I want to help y'all with some identifications of the church. There's three things the church is not that we've called it. I've searched and searched and searched the scriptures waiting for some of the identifications that we've used in American culture, especially since 1920 to the present time, to describe the church. Guess what? Nowhere in the New Testament is the church described as an institution. We made that up. Jesus never described the church as an institution. He never said, on this institution I shall have my happening. He said, upon this rock, upon this confession that Jesus has died and that Jesus lives and that Jesus wants to be in your life, changing you. He said, now on that, I'll make everything else happen. Anybody get that? On that, everything else is going to happen. On what I do, you will happen. What do you think about that? The cross, the resurrection, that is the energy that must take centered stage in the midst of the church. This is not an institution. So what is it? Let me tell you what else it is. It's not a business. It's interesting to me as I read through the New Testament, as I read through the Old Testament, I never heard the Lord describe the church as a business. Now, we've described the church as a business, but guess what? The Lord never described the church as a business. Let me tell you some things He did use to describe the church. So, and that's the third thing. He always talked about it being a body, living. Something changes. How many of y'all found this? If something's living, what's it going to do? Come on, give me some things it's going to do. We're going to talk. If you're a guest here today, we talk in church here. We believe one of the problems with the church over the past 100 years is it hasn't talked. In fact, kids love me because when I grew up in church, guess what? I heard this every other word. Shh. How many of y'all ever got that one of those in church? How many of y'all ever got an ear thump in church? Y'all see how small my ears are? I'm going to tell you, my father stunted the growth of my ears during worship throughout my journey. I'm not kidding you. I'd be sitting over, I'd always sit by my little sister in between my baby brother and my baby sister, and they'd put me in the middle of those two, and guess what I would do during a sermon? Stuff. I would make sure they couldn't hear. And I'd flip lifesavers on them back then. Parents, instead of, you know, putting their kids in timeout during worship, they just gave us a cherry lifesaver to make it through the next 15 minutes of the sermon. Any y'all ever had those? I'm surprised I don't have diabetes, as many lifesavers as I've swallowed during worship experiences. Yeah, but I mean, this was the church. It was this thing you went to instead of this thing you became a part of. And I just want to help you. It's living. Tell me some things living things do. What have you known that living stuff does? What does it do? Come on. Help me out. Huh? Grows. Y'all are exactly right. It grows. Living things grow. How many of y'all are growing? Come on, even adults, how many of y'all are still growing? Come on. Doesn't ever quit, does it? Now, it changes direction, but it don't ever quit, does it? I mean, you notice when you're a little child, people run around, children around, they'll go, oh, you're getting so big. You don't say that to people in their 40s, do you? Huh? You don't ever come at some 40-year-old late, oh, you are growing so big, that'll get you killed. You will understand you won't be a living thing anymore, you know? But it grows. How many of y'all understand? If it's alive, it's growing. Now, I want to tell you, this is the key, man, to understanding the church of Jesus Christ. It's living. It is not an institution. It is an organic, living experience. We're a body. And what do bodies do? There's three things that ought to be in the body of Christ because the Spirit of God inhabits the body of Christ. Love. Church ought to be a loving place. How many of y'all feel a little love today?
If you don't, let me go ahead and love you a little bit. You are welcome to this place no matter what you've done. Whoa. What do you think about that? How many of y'all have ever done at least one thing God said absolutely don't do? Good. The rest of you just did. You lied, so go ahead and get your hand up. See, God talked about lying too. God talked about denial too. God talked about conning him. This is the church, man. The church shouldn't be a place where we con each other into being good. It ought to be a real place where we actually get better. We grow into getting better than we were. Three things are floating center stage in God's church. First is the most important. He loves you. Secondly is the joy of the Lord. How many of y'all realize the church ought to be a fun place? How many of y'all have come to Hillview and had fun? Okay, good. That's great. What's the rest of you? Loosen up. It's not that bad. Watch, and this blows people away. This is a big message. This is why people freak out with Steve Ayers. Oh, no, he's a pastor and he still has fun. Surely this is not permissible in the kingdom of God. What do you want to do? Go to heaven and be bored like hell? Huh? Come on, you need to really wake up to this thing. Heaven's a better place than hell. How many of y'all understand that? In the church ought to be a taste of heaven, not an illustration of hell. So there's joy, a living joy inside the body of Christ. And let me tell you what happens. When we become the living body of Christ, all things are possible. Y'all got it now? Now we got to make a move. This is a serious move in your life. Serious move in your life. Something is going to have center stage in your life. And what has center stage in your life determines what happens in the rest of your life. That make sense? What has center stage in your life right now? Is it your grandchildren? Is it your destiny? Is it your life cycle? How many of y'all realize there's a life cycle? Huh? How many of y'all worry about different things now than you used to? You know, I got a son driving now. When he's driving his go-kart around the backyard, I did not have the worries that I do now. Because I knew the worst thing he could hit was the dog. So now I'm in a different stage of the what? Living experience, so I have different concerns, yeah? Huh? Like now if I run or do something like that, I've started, you know, as we all do, you know, January we all come to church and go to the gym. And we try to get over it by late February. And you know, I was on a treadmill the other day and I you know, it's got one of them treadmills where you hold the grip and it gives you a heart rating. Now, never in my life before, it was up there pretty good. You know, like 160. Now, Lindsay, before, I probably had my heart rate up to 160, but I didn't have any worries about anything blowing up. Now, I'm sitting here hanging at 160, and I go, you know, I could blow up now. Before, I was invincible. This time, I mean, I'm going to slow down. I went back to just walking. You know, I looked at these people running on that treadmill, and I thought to myself, why am I running? I ain't going to play nothing. How much exercise does it take to operate a remote? That's what I'm thinking to myself. Huh? Different life cycle. Now, here's what I want you to know. The church is always living. And I want you to get these three things today. Jesus Christ has got to be center stage of the church of Jesus Christ. It's not our opinions. It's not our theologies. It's not the way that we structured our doctrine. It is the living Jesus that's got to be centered stage in the church experience. And if you've noticed, man, we always want to cut somebody out of the deal, don't we? Kind of like Barney. Telling everybody how they couldn't do it. How many of y'all have been told you couldn't do it? That's religion. That's the way religion speaks. You know, religion to me always speaks with a hopeless message. I've been around religious people before and they scare me to death. You know why? Here's the way I know I'm always around a religious person, because I never feel good enough to stand next to them. How many of y'all have ever gotten that feeling? You know, they start quoting Bible verses out of Habakkuk 1:14 or something. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. And I'm a preacher. You know, they start laying out how great they are and all the great things they've done for God. And I feel like I can never measure up. How many of y'all have ever felt that way before? You know, a lot of them got them Sunday school pens where they've been every Sunday since their birth. And they're 90 now. And I'm going, man, I skipped a few. I even had my parents take me and I skipped. I remember going to revivals, man, where the introduction of the evangelist, man, he started off. If you smoke, you're going to hell. If you like to drink, you're going to hell. If you've ever cussed, you're going to hell. And I'm thinking, I've done all three, four I got in here. Huh? How many of y'all had that experience? Felt like I wasn't good enough to go to heaven. You know why? Because that's institutional religion. The message of Jesus Christ, the heartbeat of the New Testament, the power of a risen Savior is this. Welcome to the kingdom of God. I love you, not because of what you do not have, but I love you because I'm going to give you the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the power of God, the possibility of God, the hope of God. You won't be the same. Jesus says, after you meet me, I will empower you to a different way of living. That's the kingdom of God. Hello? 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 You can make a little noise. It's that real. You know what? I ain't coming to church to walk out of here the same as I was when I walked in here. I don't need a nap. Neither do you. I don't need any more food. I don't need somebody to tickle my ears. I don't need somebody to pipe sunshine in my ego. I need to know that the God that made me loves me and will recreate me for the possibility of heaven. That's pretty absolutely a God-sized amazement. Yeah? So the love of God. Well, let me tell you what I want you to make sure you make sure of. Everybody's important. Here's what I love about Hillview. I love all the different people that are here. I think God made different people for a reason. And I think we need them all. And I've never seen them all come together. We need intellectual people. We need daring people. We need conservative people. We need people that are willing to take huge risks. And we need people that say, hold on, let's think it through. We need all of that. And when it comes together, there's this living illustration of God, that God has opened up the arms of heaven and embraced all that He's made to a common spirit. We all drink from one what? Spirit. And that Spirit says to those who follow Jesus, I am going to take what the Lord has given me and use what He's forgiven to embrace the world with His love. That changes everything. Yeah? Yeah? You know, Kay, you can sell a house. I couldn't sell a house. I'd be telling people, it's a house. And I've looked at prices for the houses before and I'd automatically say, that's too much. See what I'm saying? Why? Just because it's too much. Now, houseboat, that'd be a different story. Aren't you? How many of y'all are glad we got all kinds of interest? Look at how multidimensional the church of Jesus Christ is. Now, I think it's what we got to be careful of. Now, the young people, they'll get this groove automatically. I think they're on this groove. I think God's tuned you all into a wavelength that you can have one spirit and it be expressed in multi dimensions. Would you agree with me? Gabe, you come out of that generation. The youth of today, they go like this. Oh, wow, they're everywhere. See, we who are older, we are so mono in our thinking. We are so one-dimensional. We tell them that they have attention deficit, and I don't believe that. It's that we don't have an educational system to match their mind. We don't. Because watch this. They know how to read before they get to kindergarten. You know, it's not see spot run anymore. They've already been through the IBM technical manual to learn how to play Magic Bus at age 3. For me, they gave me a big old fat pencil and said, this is what an A looks like. And I said, when's recess? See what I'm saying? It's a different world we live in. It's multidimensional, but guess what? It's a world that God's created. And I really think if we will embrace Jesus and place Him center stage, everything gets better. Huh? You with me? But Jesus has got to be where? Center stage for the rest of this to work. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12:12. 12:12. It's amazing. Y'all getting this today? The church is about bringing what? Life. We need everybody, not one type of person. Y'all get that? Come on, give me some head nods or something. This is crucial, man. I'm on big stuff here at Hillview today. Everybody's important. But so are the way your gifts have been put together. They're important too. I don't want any of you to be left out. If you hear anybody at Hillview say, well, you're not really welcomed. That's somebody that doesn't understand Hillview. They really don't understand. Because here's what the pastors tell you. You're welcome. Let's discover how God's going to use you. Let's see how you're going to grow. But your first connection's got to be what? Putting Jesus center stage in your life. And then what happens? You discover what you are, who you are, how you can live. Powerful stuff. First Corinthians 12, verse 12. Same thing in Romans, but we're going to use First Corinthians. The body is a unit. First of all, here's another way the church is Christ. It's a unit. We're a unit here. I miss you if you're not here in worship. How many of y'all need that person that sings off key next to you because it enhances your worship experience? Absolutely. How many of y'all know Bobby Rasko? Coach Bobby Rasko used to play professional basketball. I love Bobby. He was my sixth grade Sunday school teacher. And he would sit by us in worship, and we didn't have high gear worship. We had kind of anthem worship. I don't have any problem with that. I think it brings the glory of God. It has passion in it. But we're singing the Gloria Patra. Man, Rasko. He can't sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. He really can't. But man, he could sing. He could sing without singing. You know what? He taught me how to sing because I couldn't sing either. And he went ahead and sang. But guess what? The passion of who he was singing to was louder than the sound in the quality that was coming out. I'm telling you, that's the church of Jesus Christ. I've heard people that can't sing, sing. Y'all got that paradox? They don't have the best notes. They don't have the best rhythm. But guess what? They got so much passion. It's a great song. Kind of like Willie Nelson. How many of you ever listened to Willie Nelson? He'd never make it out of music class, folks. Huh? But when he sings with what? A passion. That's kind of the way the church is put together. It's a unit. It's a unit. Everybody's needed. Everybody's to be involved. Everybody's to do what? Activate and be one of the dimensions of what God can do. Isn't that amazing? He goes, it's a unit. It's a body. Now look, this is what we got to stay away from. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. Now, I want you to note something here. The parts form the body. The body doesn't form the parts. Y'all with me? Y'all don't look like you're with me. I'm getting the deer in the headlight thing. Here's what we've done before. We've set up the church, and we've said, here's the church. Do you fit in? But it's contrary to what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture says, y'all come, let the parts come together, and God will take those parts, and the body will be formed from those parts. Does that make sense? It's not, I'm a body, it's I'm a bunch of parts, and that makes up the what? Body. Now it goes on to say, we gotta have more than one part to make this thing work. Amen? You think about your house. You think about how you relate. I want to give some of you some freedom. I want to see if you listen. Who's got to be center stage? Well, that was pretty weak. Who's got to be center stage? There we go. Let's follow Christ. It's one of the reasons we got a world going to hell. Here's the church.
Jesus. Oh, I hope that didn't offend you, Hollywood. Oh, I hope that didn't offend anybody. I don't want to defend anybody.
That's a sissy. And if you a man, don't be a sissy. It ain't cool, it ain't neat, and it ain't of God. He put hair on your chest for a reason. Gave you a deep voice for a reason. Gave you a destiny for a reason. Ladies, he made y'all beautiful for a reason. Hello? I don't want a woman with hair on her chest. Made you beautiful for a reason. Why? Because you're an illustration of the work of God. Both male and female, he made them. He said they were good. Genesis chapter 1. And he put them together and he breathed life into them. And he put them in a destiny. And even though they're strangely different, when they come together, there is this oneness that's a mystery. Same in the church. God made you like you are for a heaven-sent reason. Because here's why. The hand, go on in the scripture, it says this. The hand can't say to what? The foot, because I'm a hand, I don't want to be a part of the rest of the body. What if you were all just one big hand? What would that look like? But guess what? That's the way people in the church want to function sometimes.
You must be of my belief system. You must have your hair just like mine, your dress code just like mine. You must follow all my rules. If you don't follow my rules, you are not a part of who we are.
Hold on. When you hear stuff like that in the world, and let me tell you what, you will hear it. Who has just entered center stage?
You. If you are going to be center stage, you will always be limited.
Now, if you step aside and let who be center stage, your part of the body of Christ will be the most functioning part it can be. How many of y'all have noticed in your body that whenever something else is wrong, something else hurts? It's called transferred pain. How many of y'all have ever hit your elbow and your toe hurt? That sounds like it can't, but it can. How many of y'all have ever done this? You slept on the wrong side or got all twisted up in the bed and you woke up and it was really just the back of your neck, but everything started hurting. How many of y'all have had that happen? I see that older people are really shaking their heads a lot more. Our teenagers are over here going, what y'all talking about? You'll see. Because we're all growing, aren't we? Huh? What we're growing into, what center stage is important. Look what he said. We can't all be hands here. We can't all be feet here. Feet. We can't be feet. Y'all got what I'm talking about? We can't all be hands. We can't just be a foot. We got to be who we are in Christ. Because here's what I think. If you really want to see a new year emerge in your life, watch this. If you will truly be who you are, God will make you wonderful. Hollywood, have I ever asked you to be a lineman? It's not going to happen, is it? God didn't make you 300 pounds, did he? He made, Coach Pastor Jeff Reynolds 300 pounds. And besides that, your head ain't big enough to be a lineman. You see how big Coach Reynolds' head is? That's a lineman head. Y'all ever seen a small coach? You ever seen a small-headed guy play line? Never have. Yeah. Y'all seen a big guy play tennis? Jimmy Mack, were you a tennis star up at Western? No, when you're 7'1", you look like Samson in the 70s. What game do you play?
Basketball.
What if Jimmy Mack had said, when he went to Western, he said, I appreciate this basketball scholarship, but I really would like to be on the ballet team. Hold on, I can talk like this. How ridiculous would that have looked? Huh? Oh, come on, that looks ridiculous. That looks as ridiculous as we do when we try to be what we're not. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild, Coach? When we try to be what we're not. Because this is what we do. When you're always pretending to be something that you're not, you will always miss who you are. Thus, depression. That's why we got so many people depressed, in my opinion. And it's just opinion. It's not been published in a medical journal. Should, but it's not. I think one of the reasons we fight depression in this world so much is because some of us want to be somebody else so bad that we never get to be who God made us to be. And year after year after year, we miss out being our part. What do you think? I think we got to be a church and a body of Christ that says, man, I'm so glad God made you. And you got this stuff, and God wants to put love, joy, and peace inside of it. Boom. I need Chris. I love Chris. He's my brother in the Lord. When he's in the Spirit, I believe him. When he's telling me about the weather, I question him. But when he's in the Spirit, See, I'm glad we can joke, aren't you? And we can joke because why? We're brothers. And he can joke me and I can joke. Why? Because we're what? Brothers. I'm excited to look out at a congregation and not see the same skin color everywhere. Gosh, how gross would that be? Y'all think heaven's going to be all white? There ain't no way. God's got rhythm. God's got color. God's got passion. God made everybody for a reason. Amen? You know what? I believe God made Asian people to be Asian people. What do you think? Huh? You know, one thing that irks me is when I see people trying to be what they're not. Why? Because they miss the body. That would be, it'd be crazy for me to try to dance like others can dance. You know what? Don't move. I can pray over it. Lord, move it. Don't move. I'm not made that way. So I got to use who I am to glorify God. Y'all getting the... Is this making sense? We all have something to give. And when we give that and when we come together with that, we get the full illustration of who God is. And when you keep God center stage, then you don't get jealous. Make sense? I mean, I might want to have cool hair like Pastor Keith Carlborough, but I'm not going to get that kind of hair. Huh? Not everybody can look like Opie. Amen? So he needs to be who? Opie. I mean, Pastor Eric, Pastor Shane, man, they are creative. They have all kinds of this creative talent. And we just let them go and be creative. Why? God made them to be what? Creative.
What if we said, Pastor Eric, Pastor Shane, you got to be like Floyd. This would be a calmer church. Y'all are getting this now. The Scripture teaches this. I want you to know God tells you to be who you are in Christ. And look what he says. He goes on and he says it all works together. It works together in a powerful way. It works together in an absolute God-ordained way. He says, now the body is not made up of one part but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't be true. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't be true. Because guess what? If we were all eyes, all we could do is see, but we couldn't hear. We couldn't touch. We couldn't experience. Here's what the Holy Spirit means. Holy Spirit needs you to connect to Jesus and make Him center stage in your life. And then you be a part of a body of Christ. And here's what I'm asking you, Hillview. I need you to be who you are. Don't be like somebody else. Be who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Y'all may not believe this, but when I walk into rooms with my other preaching colleagues, I don't look like a lot of my colleagues. And I don't act a lot like my colleagues. And that's been now about 25-year battle in my life. Because guess what? I knew God had called me to preach, but I knew God had called me to preach. And He had not called me to preach like somebody else. And when God called me to preach, man, I had a mullet. Let me also put a footnote there. Because some of y'all are looking at me like... You had a mullet too, because we were riding in the same car listening to the same 6x9 Jensen speakers with no subwoofer. Footnote, when I had a mullet, mullets were cool. There was a time when mullets were cool. If you still have a mullet today, and if that's you, hallelujah. If you've just not been keeping up with styles, Billy Ray Cyrus was a one-hit wonder. So was his hair design. God bless it. Okay, yeah. But you know what? I've got a mullet, man. I'm driving a Chevrolet Stepside 4x4. I'll never forget it, with the big mudder tires on it, a 400 big block. It got 3 miles to the gallon. I have a license plate on the front of that truck that said, God, Guns, and Guts made America. Let's keep all three. That's kind of my attitude. I'd love you in the Lord, but shooting you wasn't a bad idea if you didn't get out of my way. I had some things to learn, amen?
Amen.
I walked into the ministry, man, I'm wearing a pair of cowboy boots, blue jeans, a flannel shirt, I got long hair, and I got a beard. I walk in front of the deacons, and the deacons told me this 4.5 years later after changing to another church. The deacon said, we can't lie to you anymore, preacher, because we know you're pretty straight up. I said, yeah. I said, we called you our hippie preacher. I said, I called y'all a lot of things too, but I ain't going to tell you what they were. He said, we didn't think you was a preacher. In fact, we took a pool. In fact, one of them said, I lost $10 on you. I said, we'd fire you in 6 weeks. You stay with us 4.5 years. We learned how to love one another. We learned how to be what? Who we were. I knew that God sometimes needed an old gripey man to be in church. And they begin to learn sometimes God needed kind of a wild, rambunctious guy to tell them about the gospel. And somewhere in all those tensions, we really learn how beautiful the body of Christ is. Amen? All right. Same at Hillview. Any questions today? What do you think? Stuff work? You think Jesus just wrote that to us in the Scripture because He didn't have anything to write in 1 Corinthians that day? Or do you think there might really be some important truths in there? How many of y'all have heard this today? Be who you are. Let Jesus into your life because that's the best person you could be. Begin to share the world and be who you are in the world. Here's what the world's looking for. I'm going to tell you, here's the question today. Are people that follow Jesus for real? How many of y'all have ever had that question? Come on, how many of y'all have ever had that question? Yeah, and so guess what I'm going to ask you to be for real. Can I share a quick story and then we're going to get out of here? Really love people. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jamie and I and Mark were eating lunch and hanging out at one of the local restaurants. And this stuff breaks my heart. I mean, I just want y'all to hear how people think about people who go to church that don't go to church. Young girl, she's waiting on us. Jamie said, "Hey, where do you worship?" She goes, "Oh, I don't worship. I don't do the church thing." And so I kind of looked at her and I said, "Yeah, I bet Sundays are crazy." She said, "I hate Sundays, man." She said, "Sundays are the worst day in a restaurant business." She said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "You can ask me anything." She said, "Why are people that go to church so mean?" I said, "Well, I have an answer for that." I said, "Because most of them just go to church." She said, "You're kind of weird." I said, "I've heard that before." She said, "But the dreaded day of my life," she said, "any time in the month, if I'm scheduled to work on Sunday," she said, "that's the worst day of my life, to have to work on Sunday and wait on people that are coming from the church to the restaurant." Folks, have we not got some things backwards or what? And I said, "Well, help me learn from you." I said, "Well," she said, "let me tell you about these people." She said, "They can talk among themselves and you feel like you don't exist when you get around them." See, they'll be in a restaurant and they are so into whatever they've been a part of, they don't even know you exist. How opposite of Jesus, who stops in the midst of a grand offering to recognize a poor woman who puts a half a penny in an offering plate. How opposite of Jesus, who doesn't even flow with the crowd and looks up in a tree and says, "Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there? Come on down. Let's go have dinner." How opposite of a Jesus that stops dying for a moment and looks over to his side and says, "Brother, you believe I am the way, the truth, the life? I'm the Son of God." I mean, he's dying on a cross and he stops dying to recognize a thief. Even while Jesus was saving the world, he still had room to talk to one person. Isn't that pretty cool? She went on to say, and I said, "I bet you're going to tell me they don't tip at all." She said, "Oh, no, they're awful." I said, "I understand." I said, "Honey, the reason a lot of them don't is because they're locked into the 50s. And I was trying to help her understand. I said, "Really, if you go to the church," I said, "they dress like they're in the 50s. They think like they're in the 50s. They still have church like it was in the 50s. And I said, "Listen, in the 50s, 50 cents was a big tip. Because you could buy 2 or 3 gallons of gas for that. Now you can't even start the pump for that." See, it's because sometimes what we put on center stage, hear me on this, we're going to get out of here. We prop up on this center stage what we've been and not who we are. And God's asking us, He'll view, to prop on this center stage the love and the joy and the peace and the power of God and to be exactly who we are and to come together and to bless the rest of the world. Has everybody got this today? Come on, talk to me, yeah? So don't be like Barney. Don't be running around going, "Nibbit, nibbit, nibbit." Everybody needs to be like me. I'm going to be the superstar. Jesus is going to be center stage. Yeah? All right, if you agree with that, stand up. We got some business to do. Maybe today you realize Jesus is not center stage of your life and you want Him to be center stage of life and you want to be a part of the body of Christ. I know we got some guests here today. We got people here. It's the first time you're checking out church. Listen, I want you to find Jesus. We'll get you to church wherever you want to go, but I want you to find who? Jesus. Let me tell you what He did. He died on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. Let me tell you, this is a really cool part of the story and it really absolutely happened. On the third day, He arose from the grave. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I love following a God that won't die. That's why I'm into Jesus. People ask me all the time, "How come you aren't into another type of religion?" I said, "Everybody else is dead. I don't need a philosophy. I need a Lord that's alive. I'm messed up." No philosophy could have looked and said, "Steve Ayers, straighten up." Because I'd have gone, "I'm not doing it." Jesus said, "Steve Ayers, I love you. Come here. I'm going to love the hell out of you. And I'm finally going to put a moment's peace in that restless soul of yours. And I'm going to take all your rambunctiousness and all your creativity, and I'm going to show you a split millisecond of heaven, and now head that way. The love of God changes everything. And He'll do it for you today. Maybe you need to come today and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought it was about me. How many of y'all thought this ride was about you? It's not. I don't want y'all to be all, it's not about you. It's not about me. But when it's about Jesus, guess what? He's always about you, and that's where the blessing comes from. But you got to keep it in order. Yeah? So let's pray right now and see what God might do. Lord, you know the people that are here today. God, you know the ones that absolutely know you and love you, and you know the ones that are posing. Lord, you know the folks who have been to church all their life and don't have a clue to what you are. God, you know you want to love them. And so I ask you today, if all you've ever had is a set of rules and regulations, if all you've ever had is just a place to go hear how bad you are, why don't you tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm here today. I want to hear from you. Lord, I want to know your forgiveness and I want to hear your love. And Lord, I want to tell you, I am a sinner. I've broken every 10 commandments. But today, Lord, I trust you to do exactly what you said you'd do, and that's forgive me. So, Lord, I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you've risen from the grave. And Jesus, I'm asking you right now to come into my life, because as soon as you ask Him, He will. But you got to ask Him. So why don't you ask Him today? And then after you ask Him, guess what happens? You're baptized. You know why you're baptized? Because if it's for real, you're obedient to His works. So if you've asked the Lord into your life and you've had that divine experience, then baptism's no problem for you because you're for real. Yeah. And you confess to God just like Larry did this morning, I'm a living creature of Jesus. Maybe you need to come do that today. If you've never done it, you really need to do it today. So, well, I feel like I'm being pushed into it. Can't be pushed into it, but you can be pulled towards it. That's called the moving of the Spirit. If something's pulling you, that's God. Hallelujah. I'm glad He wants to save you, aren't you? So I'm scared to come up here. Not if it's for real, you're not. See, we only have fear when we're center stage. When Jesus is center stage, fear not. The Lord is with us. Who can be against us? This is real stuff. Maybe you need to come today and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I think people ought to be like me, and that's sick. Lord, people ought to be like you. I'm sorry for being confused. Help me not be confused anymore. Maybe you need to come and just celebrate and say, God, you know what? I'm beginning to understand who you are. And that's just cool. And I want to be more like that. So God, give me that power to live that out. That's what I want to do, Lord. Maybe you need to come and just say, God, I'm in a spot. I have gotten my life in a situation I think will never change. Why don't you ask Him, Lord, show me how it can change. God's that powerful, yeah? All right, come on, church. Altar's open. Let's move forward and take a few moments. If you need to pray and you know God's talking to you right now, listen, don't stand there. Let's pray together. What would happen if we started praying together and being baptized and being saved? Look at this blood. They're going to get a blessing right here. I'm talking when people come forward to get a blessing. Here's the worst thing that could happen to you. You'd be saved and go to heaven. Oh, Lord, that'd be awful, wouldn't it? That'd be awful. Come on. Let's listen to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on.